Welcome to the Automate and Grow podcast.
Okay, welcome to episode 4 of the Automate and Grow podcast. And today we have Brian Wright from LeadMD. And Brian is with a company that basically started out as a Marketo partner. And if you're not familiar with Marketo, that is a leading marketing automation platform, integrated tightly with Salesforce, but obviously not limited to that. And Brian is an interesting guest that we're going to talk to about. Something buzzed there. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't me. So, Brian, thanks for joining me on the podcast today. And I don't know if you want to give a little bit of introduction to yourself and what your background is.
Sure, love to. So happy to be on the podcast today. Actually, thanks for the invite, Michael.
You're welcome. So
I'm born and raised in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm a graduate of the University of San Diego. Following college, I spent a year outside traveling the world for a while before I ultimately kind of came back and decided to get serious and kind of focus on a career. I backpacked through Central America. Just followed waves and surfed for a year, having gone from San Diego surfed through Central America for a year, which was fantastic. Came back and started my first business with my older brother, a marketing agency that focused on primarily imprinted marketing collateral, mostly tangible products. What had historically been sort of like a mom and pop trinkets and trash, swag, or some of the nomenclature, some of the
names. So kind of like old school marketing in that scenario, right?
Yeah, we really liked it. At the end of the day, like, you're doing tangible products, right?
Sure.
So it was really pretty fun, but that industry is really challenging. It's really competitive. We did take a pretty strong technology focus, which really set us apart from some of the other more traditional. I don't want to call it like there was a lot of stay-at-home mom culture and people
very
doing this business or like a side business, and so. We introduced a lot of efficiency and brought some really good technology to our clients. And then I just got really interested in application of technology. I basically bootstrapped a whole bunch of systems together to run our business.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I found like a spreadsheet that I liked online, bootstrapped that together with an ERP system that I liked, and then rolled in like QuickBooks online on top of it, and basically tried to figure out how to get these systems to all work together and perform efficiently and automate. And then that ultimately drove me to kind of what I do now, which is I help really companies with really tough systems that are really expensive, kind of enterprise level systems, do the same thing, get them to all talk to each other and communicate and operate efficiently.
Oh, great. So you did it for yourself during your own entrepreneurial journey. And then you're like, wait, this is more interesting than my actual business. And you went into like marketing automation primarily, but I know it bleeds a little bit more than that. But
yeah, and oddly enough, you know, LeadMD was actually a client of ours for several years prior to coming on. I actually just went to a client that I had already interacted with for several years. They hired me on 2 years ago now, and I am a senior marketing consultant for LeadMD, working primarily on technical integrations.
Terrific. And then, so what does LeadMD do? Like, who's your typical client, and what sort of value do you guys bring to them?
Sure. So LeadMD is a marketing consultancy. We consult to pretty much all sides and all parts of the marketing maturity curve, really. So a company that's just getting started, that's in a major growth phase, looking to bring on a technology like Marketo or another MA tool, kind of really early on in the company and do it right from the get-go, is a great customer for us. But we also work primarily with enterprise-level clients, lots of multinational companies. We tend to be a lot of tech space, a lot of medical. But really, we're working with enterprise-level clients that have Marketo primarily and Salesforce, and they're looking to optimize their existing integration or even stand it up for the first time.
Oh, great. Okay. And then for people that don't know, like, talk a little bit about the capabilities of a Marketo, for example, because that's kind of a platform you guys grew with, And who would typically look at that? Like, what sort of business would be interested in Marketo?
Sure. So Marketo is really a top tier marketing automation tool. There's major players kind of in the space. You know, it's up there, you know, definitely with HubSpot, with Salesforce's product called Pardot.
Right.
Marketo is sort of interesting in that it is pretty platform agnostic. So you don't need to tie it to a CRM, contact management system, to be successful with it. And a lot of our clients do operate it independently, which kind of makes it unique. So Pardot is sort of, you can operate it independently of Salesforce, but you typically would see it tied to a Salesforce instance. But Marketo is really for all range of business, all the way from small SMB space to enterprise level. And it's really helping marketing departments really close the loop and report on what used to be pretty much disparate marketing initiatives.
So it's not just like email marketing sequencing, which is a common feature of a lot of platforms. It's kind of beyond that.
Definitely. It can measure everything from direct mail to trade show performance, your expenditure on online advertising versus press, word of mouth, any of those channels. We're working with our clients to measure on those.
So when you have a new client, are they coming to you because they know they want Marketo, or are they looking for something else typically, or is it kind of a mix?
I'd say that's changed for us recently, or at least over the last several years. We used to be a preferred Marketo integration partner, the platinum partner for Marketo. So a company that was reaching out to Marketo's sales team to purchase their product for the first time would typically get passed to a sales rep here at LeadMD for the integration and implementation, and whether that was white labeled or us on our own. But it's sort of changed recently where we're starting to do what we call now like a discovery initiative, which is really a customer who's not really sure what platform is best for them. But they know what they ultimately want. They know what an ultimate kind of budget range is, and they're looking for us to come in and do a full business analysis and needs analysis and requirements gathering for a potential MA implementation. So we've done a lot of those lately.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So if I'm like a smaller shop, let's start with that. Are you typically dealing in business to business type scenarios? Are you B2C as well? Like what's your typical client in that scenario?
Yeah, I would say it's a pretty good range of a mix of both. The Marketo sort of lends itself to be more B2C. B2B.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I thought it was B2B.
B2B. I'm sorry. Yeah, no worries. No, we're just like a HubSpot would be more aligned to like a C potentially. But yeah, it's primarily B2B. So we do get a mix, but we also have a number of clients that have a B2B component to them, but they also serve B2C. And so the B2C implementation for Marketo is a little more challenging, and that's kind of technical side interest. Yeah. And so I get pulled into those projects a lot. So I'm working with a client like Veridesk is one of our clients, and I work with them. Working on getting them enabled with Marketo and optimized with Marketo for the first time. And they're very much B2C, but they have a very strong B2B component where they're selling the standing desks to entire office spaces.
Oh, interesting. So you have clients that have hard goods. Some of them are soft goods or software. It kind of sounds like it's a range of industries that you're focused on and product sets.
It definitely is. I think more recently, and the ones that I'm enjoying kind of working with the most tend to have a actual hard good product.
Oh, interesting. So what would your approach be? So for example, if I'm B2B, like what's the state of the nation and you're feeling like, you know, what's the way that you would approach, for example, you know, cold prospects versus maybe existing prospects? Like, Do you kind of specialize in either area, and like what's the state of the nation of how you kind of establish a relationship with like an unknown or someone that doesn't know you?
Sure. This is changing like by the day, honestly. Like the technology and the tools that are available to you as a sales rep today are they're getting to a place that are just really exciting. just recently have worked with clients on integrating additional platforms that, you know, I like to tie in all these different tools that add on to Marketo or Salesforce that just make sales reps' lives easier. So you have all these, you know, data pen vendors like DiscoverOrg, RainKing, which is now DiscoverOrg, but
Interesting. Really, I think I have a call with those guys. Now that I think about it, there's someone from Bellingham, Washington that I'm. That's funny.
That makes some sense. Yeah, I mean they're doing great things as far as, you know, in the data pen service. You know, so just getting somebody's information at the very base level is part of the conversation, but then the we can just add so much onto it by using a data pen. And then one of the coolest things we've done recently is we've used sort of two technologies. A customer is a university client is trying to understand what the likelihood that a brand new lead that comes into their sales department is going to actually turn into a student. Hmm. And we've started rolling in some AI into predicting based on demographic and behavioral information and data points that we're collecting, whether that lead that's been generated is likely to turn into a student and at what rate.
Wow, that's really interesting. So you're almost like pre-lead scoring these before you have any contact with them.
Absolutely. So we have a very traditional lead scoring methodology that we'll put in place, but this is beyond that, sort of definitely a new take on the lead scoring process.
So for people that maybe are like not familiar, the idea behind lead scoring and grading, how would you compare those two and like what's a normal approach, I guess, just so people know?
Sure. Yeah. Like a traditional lead scoring approach is looking at sort of a combination of behavioral and demographic information about a lead and trying to gauge whether a lead meets the criteria to become a customer. And so, you know, I'm defining my perfect customer based on looking at my historic customers who bought from me in the past. So they have a certain company size, a certain job title is typically a good one. They're in a certain industry typically, you know, and when those demographic indicators come in that new lead, then we score that lead higher than another lead that doesn't have those characteristics.
And then the AI approach you were talking about is you're looking at data from a company like Discovery. Is it discovery.org? I think that's what it is, right?
Discover.org.
You're looking at raw data from them. You don't have contact probably with that account or contacts at that account. And you're saying you're using the demographic data that Discover is giving you to figure out this is a higher probability I should be outreaching to these people rather than trying to spend cycles to figure out whether you should try to talk to them.
Yeah. I mean, this was sort of a really cool, interesting project. We basically just took a big export of the last 2 years worth in this case, student data, just raw data of what a lead looked like when they filled out a form essentially on their website. All the indicators, all the information. And Marketo adds some inferred information as well. So if you submit your form in a specific, it can infer kind of what geographic location you're in, city and state. We basically fed this raw data into a platform called Data Robot. And Data Robot modeled potentially several different models for us. We selected the model that kind of looks the best based on the output that was the lowest amount of input values that we needed and gave us kind of the highest throughput likelihood. And it really came back with a value that said, like a grade essentially, that says,
wow, that's crazy.
How likely, 30, 40, 50% likely this lead is to become a student.
And then how was the actual reality of that when you outreached to them?
I mean, so we're using it, and the implementation of it is to enable the admissions team at this university to just reach out to the right leads first in order of priority. So overwhelmingly, the response has been positive because you're reaching students that are just, they're more interested in your contact, you know, or being contacted by you. Versus the ones that have the lowest probability to convert, they matched up almost, you know, right on expectation with leads that we would anticipate and like not being excited to get a phone call from an admissions counselor.
That is really interesting. So, like one of the things that I talk about, obviously in the book, Automate and Grow, is the fear around artificial intelligence and even robotics. In this case, this is obviously a way to use AI that it's not taking anybody's job. It's probably doing a job that that's really difficult to do, and it's improving the way you're doing. This is like a real world today. It's not 10 years from now. It's not like bleeding edge. This is a real application of artificial intelligence that you're saying it's a service too, right? You're saying data. That's really interesting. So you're putting your data into Data Robot, and it's giving you information to enhance that data. And you're saying the results are like better because it's performing a function that you normally wouldn't have before.
Yeah, traditionally we would have said based on lead score, so based on the demographics or based on the behavior of going to like a pricing page, or in this case an admissions page or how to enroll page on their website. That behavior would indicate whether that person was likely to become a student. But now we know that it's so much more than that. It's not just I went to the page and I have this, you know, this demographic field, you know, value. It's such a more comprehensive view of geographic location and like all the different socioeconomic data points that can be added in via Discover Org. But the coolest kind of component of it is that the model always learns. It's sort of self-healing and self-learning over time, so it feeds itself information again. When a lead ultimately becomes a student, the value of this lead turned into a student goes back into the model. And so over time, the model just improves itself and gets more and more fine-tuned.
Wow. So you're feeding this tool back information because it's like, listen, we've converted these prospects into actual customers. And when it gets back that information, it's confirming what its assumptions were and learning. Yes. That's amazing. Yes, oh, my God. That is so crazy. And how did you find that tool? Did they approach you, or was that something you were researching like proactively?
Yeah, so we were looking at actually inputting it here within LeadMD for our own methods. And a lot of times when we get sort of projects like that, we'll go to our clients with those ideas. And so we had a client at the time and still do service on it. We have kind of two engagements with our clients, and it's typically project-based, which is I have a very specific thing that I want done. So they'll engage with LeadMD to do this very specific thing. Typically, you know, for a set period of time, and once the project gets through to completion, you know, then we kind of look for the next thing to do, or we do an extended management engagement where there's a retainer essentially. But this client is one on retainer, so we're constantly thinking of what's the newest, latest, greatest, coolest thing that we could do for them, and we actually went to them with this project.
Wow, so you that's really interesting. You had a client, you expanded your engagement with them based upon the fact that you're able to leverage an interesting new technology in real world. That's really kind of a cool story.
Yeah, we love doing like that. any chance, that's one of the things that I think has kept kind of LeadMD at the forefront, really, is that we do look to our clients as a way to sort of prove our own worth, as in the sense that like we've got this thing, we know it's going to be really important and the next step, and we just go to our clients really with the idea and get them to like buy in and love it as much as we do. And so we get to do some really cool things instead of, you know, some of the more traditional like campaign execution. We do all of that, but I'm always looking for what's next and latest and coolest.
I think that, I mean, it sounds to me that reflects like an interesting company culture that you guys have, where you're trying to like, you know, you have that room for innovation. So it's kind of interesting. I like to hear that. It's kind of neat. It's an interesting example too, right? For other people to think about, you know, this is a real world way that giving someone the space, like yourself, for example, giving them the space to research and apply it goes outside of maybe what a product manager created for you. So it's like you're, you know, that's interesting. It's almost like you create a whole new practice around it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, from the client's perspective, I think they really love the fact that we're thinking like that for them in like on their behalf. Like we really truly advocate for our clients because we prove our own value by being able to get our clients that return. You know, like I wouldn't work with a financial advisor that wasn't getting me the return on that investment. So we've got to prove our return like 5 and 8 and 10-fold by coming up with like new really cool projects like that.
I think I've worked in the past where I've seen providers that they don't get results and they don't hold themselves accountable for it. Yeah, I agree. That sounds like the opposite of what you guys are doing. And you're tackling, I think, what's a challenge, right? Which is, I think for a lot of businesses, and I had this discussion with someone last night, where everyone has a blind spot in their business. So if the founders are like really strong in sales, they might not be the greatest at lead gen or, you know, marketing for lead gen. So it sounds like you're able to take a leadership position with companies like that and kind of take away some of the pain and then actually also deliver results.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. One of the things that I love the most about LeadMD is we actually are a client of ourselves. So we have our own retainer with ourselves and our own engagement with one of our teams that we have a certain set of hours that are dedicated to improving our business. So like
wow,
you said,
okay.
Yeah, there's business owners or businesses that like it's not working in the business, it's working on the business. And this is like case in point, we work like on a, I think it's 60 or 80 hours. I think it's more than that actually per month where our teams set aside the time to solve these business problems, both for ourselves and then come up with like the new product. But we're always working on improving our own company because we are a client of ourselves.
So, I mean, I heard two things there. It sounds like inside of your company, you're saying, number one, is LeadMD treated as a client of LeadMD? So
absolutely.
You have an account team on LeadMD inside of LeadMD?
That's correct.
What? That's really interesting.
Yeah, we have a director, there's a project manager, there's a consultant, a senior and a junior consultant that are on it, and they meet on a regular weekly cadence with the CEO as if they were a client.
That's really interesting. And then the other component, it sounds like it goes back to the culture of experimentation. It sounds like you almost have like an R&D or a labs approach to finding new stuff.
Yes, yeah, we do, and we're expanding that for sure. We actually are in a major growth kind of period right now as a company. Some shakeup within the company is expanded as we try and scale. So we're onboarding some new practice leads for some other very kind of new to us positions within the company. And so this next 2018 is kind of exciting time for us, and we've just freed up like a number of resources to focus on sort of additional new products, being sort of creative within the space, as well as serving our existing clientele.
So I ask that not so much as a way to pump up LeadMD, but to learn from it too. I think you're going through rapid growth as a business. What are some of the challenges that LeadMD has had during that journey? Because you're probably experiencing stuff as a business. Forget the services that you offer, but you're trying to figure out your own path as far as growth and automation. So it's kind of interesting to learn from that.
Yeah, I see so many things happening within this new business, well, within LeadMD, that I wish that I had known and done within my own business when I was an entrepreneur. When I own my own company, and you know, the growth and the wanting to grow is very challenging. It's distracting sometimes from that core business, and it's critical to really know what you are, what you do, who your customer is, and why you do it. And I don't think that even though LeadMD is in like this growth phase and we're growing and bringing in new people, like that culture is very core. We know what we do, and we know that we do it well. We kind of stay very true to that original process.
That's interesting. So you've built, it sounds like culture's been very important and everything else follows suit. So it's like we're gonna expand, but we wanna stay true to those values is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, we've just brought in new leadership, even like a new COO actually just this end of December, brand new, to really disrupt a lot of things in our past 10 years of thinking. Hmm. To do it even further, to push us even further. I'm learning a ton. The 2 years that I've been here at LeadMD, I don't see it, you know, stopping anytime soon for me.
That's really interesting. So I think one of the things I also like to talk about is kind of that, overcoming fear, but also overcoming complacency, right? So it's like, I think the next 10 years are going to be very disruptive, more disruptive than any other time, partially because there's technologies that are coming out that are changing everything, and they're coming out fast. And partially because whoever your customer is, there's someone out there trying to figure out how to get them onto a new demand curve.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think what you're describing is that you're trying to stay ahead of that game by understanding, how do I not only keep and get new customers, but I can't just keep doing the same thing in order to do that. It sounds like it's kind of your message.
Yeah, and don't be afraid of something new or something that's sort of like for us, like, we've really done a good job of focusing on the kind of technologies as they come. Like, technology is an interesting, like, especially in this space, it can be very flash in the pan, but we try and focus on the ones that are going to have staying power and the ones that are going to ultimately have, like, value in the space for the longest time. So I think the AI component is really symptomatic of that, or really indicative of that. Like, the AI, it's not going away. It's only going to improve. So we wanted to get involved in that. AI is like, don't be scared of that concept. Try and bring it into our business, understand it, apply it, like, make it, put it to work for us so that it didn't kind of pass us by and that we could sort of be a leader on that concept.
Very interesting. So a couple of things that I wanted to kind of quickly bounce off. One, what's your feeling on the state of email marketing in general? Because I think there's a lot of chatter, right, where people, you know, I always divide into kind of two categories. One is obviously nurturing and opted in, right? So using it to follow up on people that trust you, and then trying to go cold to build that trust, right? And I think there's a lot of feedback that, you know, there's obviously challenges technically, and then also relationship-wise. So I'm just kind of curious what your experience is and how much email marketing is still a part or is not a part of what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, email marketing is, it's still the bread and butter, honestly, of the major marketing departments. And I don't think that's going to change. But I do sense a change that email marketing, like, you cannot continue to be bad at email marketing. There's a lot of technology out there in the space that really enables even the smallest, you know, small company to perform professional, to deliver professional emails that are well put together. They have good branding. They're measurable, meaning that we can track the clicks and the opens and the send rates and get those metrics back to report and make better decisions. They would fall, you know, into those two categories. We work with our clients, you know, those are the two primarily, and I don't see them stopping anytime soon. The concept of nurture isn't going away, and then sort of the one-off email sends are certainly here to stay, but I do think that we're seeing a shift towards more dynamic, more personalized information within those emails. And some of the new technologies are really exciting for me. Like, there's a technology platform called Conversica. So Conversica is a cool and brand new technology that we're sort of latching onto and helping clients integrate right now, and that ties the loop between the marketing department and the sales, and it automates. It's a bot and an AI that essentially that sends out those sales-based emails that says, I saw that you were on our site. We know that you're a known lead or something, and it's that sort of it's an automated, personalized, quote unquote. But you're talking to an AI. You're not talking to, it'll say Brian in the signature, but it's a bot that says, oh, I see that you're interested in this product. Are there any follow-up questions? Is there anything I can help you with today?
Oh, wow. So you're teaching, you're giving it, are you giving it like the foundation of what to look for and what to respond with? And then it kind of goes from there, or?
We are. It's a really cool technology that we're laying in with Marketo, but it's not tied to a platform. So it is agnostic. It will work. You feed it sort of the precursor information that it needs in order to function and to understand who it's talking to and what it should be talking about, and then ultimate what the outcome you want is. And it could be drive to a phone number, it could be convert to a landing page, I want to ultimately push them to our support documents, it could be a customer service use case where we want to, you know, bring them into our service portal. So you can define what that outcome is, and they'll drive the conversation there.
Wow, that's really interesting. And so it's taking, like, it sounds like it even from an anonymous person and trying to get them to be an identified contact. So it's like, I'm random Joe, I show up at your website, but you're saying Conversica engages with me and to try to get me to opt in, or I've already opted in?
So both ways. So the chat functionality, yeah, there's the chat functionality on the site where I'm less likely. So if I'm an unknown lead, I'm more likely to use the chat function. And that can be bot driven, is tied to Conversica. if I'm a known lead and I'm going to a page and I already know who this person is, I have a name and an email address, I know what they're doing on the website via cookies and tracking, and can have a conversation with, I saw that you were browsing this specific product, or you were on our pricing page. Are there any questions?
Damn, so you have like almost like a sales agent built in through this into your site. It's kind of interesting. Like an SDR or a BDR type role.
Yeah, doing that initial outreach, which takes up so much time for that traditional BDR, we expand that, amplify that effort, and then allow the BDR just to handle the actual conversations that are converting and turning into that tipping point that we define.
Is that an expensive technology, out of curiosity? Like, what size a company could use Conversica? I know you don't work there, but I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, I'm certainly
I have to look that up. That'll be in the show notes.
I have no relationship between kind of either of the products. They're just ones that like fascinate me because they're kind of cool, and we're seeing good results with them right now, which I think is exciting. I would say that I'm actually not sure on the pricing of it right now, but our clients that have implemented it have been enterprise level, but I don't think it's specific to enterprise.
See, I find that the whole bot space super interesting, and a little bit of it feels like Ethereal, but when you hear that, that's a very specific application on your site. I really am excited about what's going on with Facebook, because I feel like they've opened up a bot platform through their messenger. I'm not really familiar with Twitter or any of the other platforms like LinkedIn, but Facebook for sure is I've seen some really interesting applications of that where you're driving like cold traffic or a payment or something, and it shows up in Messenger, and now it's exposed a whole bunch of information to the marketing group, and then they're automating the process of outreach. It's kind of really interesting. I don't know if you guys deal in that sort of area, but even just from an interest point of view, I think that's kind of an exciting platform for.
Yeah, it's sort of exciting and also sort of terrifying, given the number. I'm terrified of how much Facebook knows about me. It's amazing the amount of information that they have.
Do you use Facebook for voice conversations? Because I've been finding I've been using Messenger more, like, you know, video or voice.
I just don't know. I've never like personally done it, but okay. I know it's there. I think I have gotten like a couple of calls, and I'm like, what is this? Oh, I guess, yeah, Facebook Messenger can call.
So it's interesting, because my understanding is part of that user agreement, and I'll have to verify this, but this is what I've been told, is that the user agreement says that they're actually able to pull out keywords from your conversations, and then magically it's like, you know, like, and I think I've seen the result of this and not understood that that's probably where it came from. It's like, wow, I'm suddenly being shown an ad about a conversation I was having with someone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely happening. I'm convinced that that's what's going on. Either my Facebook app on my phone or my Amazon Alexa that's next to my. But I was watching Harley and the Davidsons on Discovery Channel like all day one day.
Okay.
I've never gotten a Harley Davidson advertisement on my Facebook ever, but I watched like the marathon on TV, and whether it was Facebook or Messenger or my Amazon Alexa. I sure enough open Facebook, and the first sponsored ad is by a Harley Davidson.
Oh my God, it's crazy when you start thinking about it.
I don't believe in conspiracy, but
no, that's technology.
That's technology.
There's something in there that's doing it. I want to be conscious of your time, and this stuff's like really interesting, and I think hopefully interesting. It seems like very interesting to you. The one thing I am also I'll mention is Alexa. I don't know how much you looked into that platform, but that's a platform I'm really excited about. I don't know if you guys are doing anything in that space, but it's like kind of it sounds like it's not, but it was kind of off the cuff. I was kind of curious, because I think even for this podcast I'm going to create an Alexa skill.
Yes.
Right, so this is what's really interesting to me. So if anyone's watching this, and it's not built yet, but I think in the next week and a half I should be able to do it. I'm gonna experiment where you with your Alexa can go, give me the latest episode of Automate and Grow, and it'll come up and play this podcast on Alexa.
Yeah, I think it's super exciting. I have it personally. I use it in my personal life. I haven't adapted it or found a business application of it, but I want to. Like, maybe that's my next thing to focus on, is find a client that I want to say you can leverage like the Force platform, essentially. You know, Salesforce is a really nice like builder administration to potentially do an Amazon app.
That's an interesting point of view. That's true. That's really true. I know we could talk about this stuff all day, and I know you're a busy guy, so I really appreciate your perspective on all this stuff. So I'm going to ask you two questions, and then we can wrap up. The first one, and this one, I'm going to put you on the spot in both of these, okay? Just to pre-warn you. So the one question is, what are you doing to change the world, Brian?
Damn, that is a tough one. I honestly feel professionally, I feel like I'm helping clients, and I'm doing actually important work that is like stop wasting money. That's probably like my biggest driver for a lot of the decisions that I'm making, is like helping customers really identify what's a waste, and like, do you need to go to that third trade show that year? Mm-hmm. Because you've never been able to report on the ROI of that trade show. So professionally, I think that's a very valuable thing, by saying like, customer, like, you don't need to go spend that $100,000 to go to that trade show. It didn't return really anything.
That's
but
great.
They couldn't connect dots previously.
I mean, that's huge, right? That's affecting the bottom line of so many businesses probably that you're interacting with. So
sure. And that doesn't do it for me personally. So I've got to do something. You know, my professional aspirations are to try and save some money, but personally, I'm just trying to be excited about something each day and learn something.
Oh, that's an interesting perspective. I mean, that's a great mindset individually, right? And you probably have an effect on people around you because of that. So that's like huge. Okay. Right?
So I love one of my work environment here, just because I've never been surrounded by more intelligent, smarter people that have done cooler things.
That's great.
So like, by surrounding myself with really good, smart, intelligent people that I can learn from, I'm humbled by it, and like, I want to try and create that environment that all these like great coworkers created for me.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's a great answer. I love it. That's,
which is funny, yeah. Because the last time that you and I were together, Michael, I was in a work environment that I think I was like, this
a little
challenged
this is, by.
And, yeah, if this is the rest of my world, you know, then this is going to be, yeah. The last time we worked together was a very difficult and different work environment.
We won't name it. Yeah, it was an interesting scenario, but I could see the cultures are very different from what you're involved in now. So
there's a brand new show called Corporate that reminds me very much of my last work environment.
Oh, really? Okay. So if we want to have a preview into what your life was like, it was positive for me, but I think that's because we were able to work together. So, but I got the, I understand what you're talking about. Sure. I think I got that feeling.
It's very
like, you were doing interesting stuff, and was it appreciated? It's a question always, right? So, so I'll wrap with one question. What I've been doing is, you're an interesting guy and you got an interesting work. I'm really committed to producing a lot of content in a short time, and I want to talk to other interesting people. And what I want you to do is, I don't have to know this person, preferably not, but in one of the areas that we talk about, the four areas, I'd like you to nominate someone that you think should be on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So the CEO of my company, Justin Gray, has his own podcast, and he's pretty phenomenal industry leader within marketing. I'd love to tie you in with him.
Oh, great.
Justin Gray.
Okay.
But possibly equally as interesting, our chief strategy officer here, Andrea Lechner-Becker, is leaving to write a novel. And
oh, wow.
She is probably hands down one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life, and has worked on some really, really cool projects for a lot of really great clients, and is like typically one of the top like people to know in marketing.
Oh, great. Okay.
I'd love to introduce you to her. I think you'd have an interesting conversation with her.
Terrific. I will take both of those referrals.
I would be happy to.
That'd
be happy
great.
To.
Thank you so much. Well, Brian, I really appreciate your insight into what's going on with this world of marketing automation and how you're working with clients. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your mindset and approach. So thank you very much, and we're going to wrap up. This is the fourth episode, by the way, we've recorded. So we're making rapid progress. And
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thank you very much, and this has been Automate and Grow.
This has been an episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. Check out other episodes for interesting topics on how to grow, innovate, and automate your business. Subscribe or like us on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, or on our website at www.automategrow.biz and get your copy of the book Automate and Grow at Amazon today.